Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Here's Pastor Mark Pearl. Enjoy the message.
I'm going to be going to Mark's Gospel, chapter 5. We're in a series, which you may not remember because it's been so broken up. Resurrection Sunday, guest speaker, me being gone, but we're talking about answered prayer. And I'm just going to refresh you. This is number 3, okay? And so we talked about lifestyle, how lifestyle affects your prayer life. We talked about how your prayer life needs to be word-based, based on the Word. Tonight, I'm just going to call this faith. Faith. Prayer, you know, prayer and faith appropriates the promises of God. Amen. Amen. You know, you think of it this way. Think of it this way. Faith is heaven's currency. How many know you go to Walmart, you better have something. Because, you know, all they want is your money. Well, I thought they were there because they liked me. They don't like you that well, honey. They're there because of your money. So, you know, and have you ever gone to the store before? And you know, I have. You get ready to pay, and you think, oh, man, wallet's gone. That's not a good feeling. Because it usually means you're not getting out of there until you go find the wallet. I was at a store the other day. I don't remember which one it was, but I reached back there, and I felt, and I thought, there's nothing back there. There should be something back there, you know, besides just me. And so I realized my wallet's in the truck, so I had to leave the cart and go out to the truck, get the wallet, and come back. Why? Because they want currency. Amen. They want money, right? If you're going to get an exchange of goods, you're going to have some money. Well, faith has a heaven has a currency. It's called faith. And if you're going to get an exchange of goods with heaven, you got to have the currency. Hey, this isn't hard, is it? I mean, you know, but the church is complicated. So, well, now you can't say that, you know, without faith you can't be healed. Yeah, I can. Just as much as I can say without faith you can't be saved. Amen. Right? That's just the Bible, right? You know, Ephesians 2:8, right? How many know what Ephesians 2:8 says? Wonderful. Hallelujah. Okay. For by grace are you saved through faith. Wow, what an intelligent church we're having here tonight. Praise God. Pastor, I didn't know where Ephesians 2:8 was. Well, now you know what Ephesians 2:8 says. Amen. What does Ephesians 2:8 say, everybody? Let's try this again. Now, Kenny got it. He's been saved for 3,700 years. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves is the gift of God. So what's Ephesians 2:8 say? You're saved by what?
Grace.
Through what? Faith. So faith is what gets the grace. So if I can't be saved without faith, I can't access grace, then that must mean everything else God has comes the same way. Amen. This really isn't hard for me. I know we get a lot of flack over this at times because people are saying, well, you're just saying that they can't be healed because they don't have any faith. If you don't have any faith, you're probably not going to be healed. I'm not saying you're not going to be, but if you are, it's going to be grace of God, you know, just His mercy or the gifts of the Spirit. I mean, I've seen people healed that didn't have any faith. I was praying for people for healing and the power of God was moving in this church. And there was a healing anointing there, you know, that's a little something. You know, we can always receive healing by faith, but sometimes there's an anointing comes, and that's a little something extra to add some ump to that. And so there was a healing anointing flowing, and the pastor realized it at this church, and he had a lady that had a, I was younger then in those days, and so I didn't know what it was, but now I know she had a pack that she had fastened to her body that had a wire went into her back, and it shocked her because she had such back pain that shock would alleviate that pain. And she wore that thing all the time. And so people are being healed, people are being ministered to, and she's not even coming up. Now, what does that tell you? It tells me she's not exhibiting any faith, or she'd be in that healing light. So the pastor went back, got her, brought her up. I laid hands on her, and she got healed.
It was her own testimony. I mean, you know, she said, I went home, and she said, I noticed I didn't have any pain. She said, but I didn't think anything about it because that box will help keep the pain down. She said, but I got to checking, and the thing was unhooked. I don't know whether an angel unhooked it or it just got unhooked. The power of God hit her, and she hit the floor. You know, so that was just a gift of the Holy Ghost, gifts of healings. But, you know, generally it takes faith. Amen. So this isn't really hard. You know, I know people try to, some denominational people try to make it really hard and say, we just never know what God's going to do. Well, you know, listen, you know, that means God's character is pretty changeable then. If we never know what God is going to do, then we've got a pretty whacked out God. But we do know what our God is going to do because He never lies. He never changes. The Bible says there's no variableness, no shadow of changing. His shadow doesn't even change. Amen. And so, you know, we just have to understand God does things in a certain way. And one of those ways that He does things is by faith. Amen. So I wanted to start in Mark chapter 5 because I want to show you something here that I think, you know, it's pertinent to what we're talking about. And I think it'll rest on you. And of course, everything that we say, if we don't have Scripture behind it, it doesn't mean a whole lot. But let's just see, if we've got Scripture to back the fact of what I said, that faith is heaven's currency. It's what purchased things. I don't even like to use that word because it's already been purchased by the blood of Jesus. But it's what appropriates, is a better way to say, things from heaven. It's what obtains. By faith, the elders obtained, the Bible says. So it's been purchased, but you got to obtain it. Now, let's go to, you probably are there, but let me get to Mark chapter 5. Mark 5, amen. Got it? Verse 25, it says, there was a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years. That's a long time to have anything. And had suffered many things of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was nothing better, but rather grew worse. Now, I think when the Bible says that she spent all that she had, I don't know, it just comes off to me that the Bible is trying to tell us this woman was a woman of substance. She had a lot of money. Obviously, if she's been going to the doctors for 12 years, she had a lot of money. Right? I mean, you have to have a lot of money to go to the doctor for 12 minutes, right? Amen. I mean, you know what an aspirin costs you in a hospital? Could be $200. I mean, you can buy aspirins for life for that. I mean, you think about hospitals. I'm not knocking hospitals, thank God for them. But I'm just simply saying, when you look at that, that's an expensive place. I mean, that's the worst hotel you're ever going to stay in. They come and wake you up in the middle of the night, poke you, stick you, and ask you dumb questions. And then charge you a bunch of money to do that. Amen. But this woman obviously was a lady of substance, and she spent everything she had. Of course, naturally, if you got something wrong with you, you're trying to get better. And you will spend everything you had to get rid of it. But she grew worse. Verse 27, when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind him and touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be made whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague, or she was immediately healed. But I want you to notice what this woman did. I mean, these are faith principles that we teach, and you just look in this example, and right here it is. First thing she did, she heard. Faith cometh by hearing. She heard. And then the Bible said, and she came in the press and touched his garment. She acted on what she heard. And she said. Isn't that, this is what we teach about faith. Faith comes by hearing, but you release it by your words and your actions. Right there it is, isn't it? I said, there it is, isn't it? Right there it is. This woman, she said, if I may touch what is his clothes. And the Amplified Bible says she kept on saying this. Hallelujah. Verse 30, Jesus immediately knowing in himself that the virtue, or that's the old King James, power had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? So look, she heard, she said, she came, she tapped into the power. Amen.
How many believe it'll still work the same way today? If we'll hear what the if we'll hear the word of the Lord, we'll say that, and we'll act on it, we'll tap into the power also. Wow. Glory to God. Well, what kind of power do you need? Well, God, you know, whatever kind of power you need. See. Now notice this. Verse 31, and his disciples said unto him, you see the multitude thronging you, and you say, who touched me? And now this is interesting. Let's stop there just for a minute. Think about this. See, the Bible says that there was a multitude thronging him. The crowd, some translators say the crowd pressed him. What does that mean? That means there's a lot of people bumping into him. I mean, you ever gone to a sporting event or something, and you're walking, you're going to bump into a lot of people. And that's what the disciples were saying. It's like, look, everybody's bumping into you. What do you mean, who touched you? Everybody's bumping into you. Now, he realized somebody got some power out of him. Hallelujah. Amen. That means there's power to be gotten, right? So somebody got some power out of him. And he said in verse 32, he looked around about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. You know, I don't know, you know, maybe she was afraid because she wasn't supposed to be out in public with that issue of blood. And notice what he said to her. Now, this is really important, guys, what he said to her. And he said unto her, daughter, anybody remember where that's used at before? Ought not this woman being loose since she's a daughter of Abraham? See, here's a daughter of Abraham. Daughter, thy faith has made you whole. Go in peace and be whole of your plague. Now I want you to notice where Jesus put the emphasis on. This is really important. He didn't put the emphasis on the power. He put the emphasis on the faith. Well, the power's available. I mean, you know, if you got a freezer out in the garage, think about, you know, you ever had an old freezer out in the garage and you unplugged it and you come in one day and it's running and it's cold. You don't say, how'd that power get in there? Do you? Not unless you're weird. What do you say? Who plugged it in? You know how the power got in there. The power's in the garage. The power's around the house. You got power outlets in your house. You know how that works. You know that's available, right? God's power is available to anybody. He doesn't have to, you know, work something up for somebody to get saved. It's just there. And the same thing is, God doesn't have to work something up. We don't pray the power down. Well, the power's already here. You know, we used to sing a song, Lord, send the power right now. Send the power right now. Well, you know, maybe that's okay, but the point is, the power's already here. He doesn't have to send it. Hallelujah. Amen. But it's a matter of, do we tap into it? So you don't say, you know, how'd that power get in that freezer? You say, who plugged it in? Who plugged it in the power? That's what Jesus is doing. Of course, it was his power that made the woman whole, but he didn't talk about the power. He didn't talk about himself. He said, woman, your faith made you whole. Your faith tapped into that power. He put the emphasis on the faith because that's the important thing. If you're going to have the power. Amen. You know, power is available. Right. God will heal anybody that'll tap into it. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, so tonight we're just talking about how faith is important to our prayer life. And I know this is simple. I know there's a lot of things that we're going to say tonight that you already know, but we're going to stir ourselves up in it. Hallelujah. Amen. Mark chapter 11. Let's go there. Mark the 11th chapter. And I know you know this scripture. Or at least you should. You didn't know what Ephesians 2:8 was, but I'm believing you're going to know what Mark 11:24 is. Mark 11, verse 24, it says, therefore I say unto you, this is Jesus, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. Ever heard that scripture before? Now notice what he tells us to believe. He didn't say believe that God's able. You don't know how many times I've heard people say, well, I believe the Lord's able. Well, that's great, but that doesn't do anything. You need to know that He will. You know what I'm saying? People say, well, I believe the Lord's able. I believe the Lord's good. Well, I do too. That's not good enough. Well, I believe the Lord's compassionate. Well, I do too, but that's not good enough. You have to believe. What do you have to believe? Come on, what do you have to believe? You guys got your Bible open, Mark 11? What's it say you have to believe? That you receive. You have to believe that you receive when you see it. When you pray, right? Did you know most people don't do that? They don't believe it till they see it. Even people have been taught faith for years. You'll pray about something, and they'll keep talking like it nothing happened. Well, this means they didn't believe they received it. I'm praying for people, and you know, and then they go on keep talking like they still have the issue. They don't talk about, I believe I received it. Amen. You're praying for money, you need money. How many know you ought to believe you received it? Then what should you do? You should thank God for it. You should go on your merry little way and act like it's done. Hallelujah. That's faith, right? You know, faith. How many believe you're going to heaven? How many aren't sure? Let's get that fixed. How many believe you're going to heaven? How many have seen heaven? See, you can believe something that you don't see. How many believe you got a brain? That's a little less. How many know if you ever see your brain, we got a problem? Right? You know, they tell you what's inside of you. You know what I'm saying? Tell you, you know, you got a heart, you got a liver, you got kidneys, you know. And then some things they say, well, you don't need that. You don't need your appendix. We'll take that out. I'm thinking, well, I mean, I don't think God's stupid. He didn't put it in there, you know. Like, you know, people get their wisdom teeth taken. I still got mine. That's why I've still got wisdom. You know, I know stuff acts up, and sometimes your body can live without it. It'll adjust. But I'm just being funny. But my point is, you don't see those things, but yet you believe they're in there. I want, you know, like I was talking about the other night, you know, how they say, you know, certain foods, they break down and they turn into sugar in your body. I'm thinking, who followed it in there? See, a lot of things we can't see, but yet that doesn't mean it's not reality, right? Amen. You know, I can't see calories, but I know this. Somewhere or another, they'll get on you. I can't see them. They say, that's got, you know, I remember one time restaurant here, it was a chain restaurant, and they had one of these super duper big burgers. I mean, I don't remember how many patties it had on it. It had like 7 slices of cheese. I mean, you know, it's just what you need, you know what I'm saying? And so, you know, Noah and Camden are with me one day, and we decide we're going to take the challenge and see if we can eat those things. So we went in there. Of course, Noah, he didn't have any problem. He just breezed right through his, you know, and he was looking at ours, you know. And, you know, but here's what I do know. If you keep doing that, even though you can't see calories, it puts fat on your body. So there's things that we don't see, but yet they're reality, okay? And a lot of times when we bring it over into the realm of receiving from God, people get like Thomas, and they want to see things before they believe it. And it was his choice. He said, I will not believe until I see. He could have said, I'm going to believe it because Jesus said it. Amen. He could have changed. It's up to him. And listen, people say, well, faith is so hard. Someone asked me one time, they were counseling somebody, and they said, I want to ask you a question. I've got this person I'm counseling. And they asked me, why does God make it so hard that we have to believe? That we have to have faith to receive. I said, well, that didn't make it hard. That made it easy. If God did it on something else, it wouldn't be fair. If he did it on your perfect weight, how many know some of us? No looking around, wouldn't make it. If he did it, you know, you got to be over 5'9". How many of some of us aren't going to make it? How many of if he did it by IQ, you got to have 140 IQ. There's some people that are probably here tonight. It's not going to make it. I mean, what if he said you could get saved if you can spell supercalifragilistic, if you can even say it, supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. And you can't look and find out. How many know you're probably not going to get saved? Aren't you glad he did it on faith? He said, if you just believe it, I'll give it to you.
That makes it
an even playing field for everybody. You just believe it. Anybody can believe if they choose to. If they'll hear what God said, choose to believe it, anybody can do that. So God just made it on an even plane where everybody could get it. Praise God. So it wasn't, He's not making it hard. He's making it easy. You know, we don't want it on another level. We want it on that easy level. And that's an easy level. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, so this woman, with the issue of blood, we saw what she did. Here Jesus says, you got to believe that you receive it before you have it. Now, let me see here. Let's go to, I'll tell you what, let's go to 1 Kings. You don't mind if we look at some scripture tonight, do you? 1 Kings chapter 18. Let me show you something here. This is an element of faith I want you to get tonight. 1 Kings 18. 1 Kings 18. And this is kind of an element that we need to have, a spirit about us we need to have, like Elijah had. Now, Elijah, you know, the Tishbite, that's what the Bible calls him, Tishbite. I've got a friend, he figured out what a Tishbite is. He said Elijah, he came in to the king. He said, it's not going to rain. He said, Elijah, the Tishbite. And he said, it's not going to rain. My friend said, he figured out what a Tishbite is. It must be an Old Testament weatherman. He said, it's not going to rain. So he said, it's not going to rain. And for 3.5 years. Okay, so that 3.5 years has come, and it's come to an end. And now it's time for some rain. And so I want you to watch what he does. In 1 Kings 18, verse 41, it says, Elijah said unto Ahab, who was the king, get thee up, eat, drink, for there is a sound of an abundance of rain. Now, once again, here's faith talking, because there's not any rain yet. But he said, I hear it. How many know when you get in faith, you hear things differently? Amen. You hear things. You don't hear things the way everybody else hears it. When you get a bad report from the doctor, you don't hear it like everybody else hears it. A faith person hears it differently. They see it as a faith challenge. No, I'm not going to die from this, because with long life he'll satisfy me. Now, unless you just want to. I mean, if you want to, you could. I know of a situation where a lady was a faith woman, faith family. Her brother-in-law, faith preacher. Her sister was a faith preacher. And she got cancer. And she said, I don't want to be healed. I want to go to heaven. Well, I mean, God honored that. She went to heaven. But that was her choice. She could have said, I'm not gonna die, I'm gonna live. Are you with me now? See, but she chose this, and so she was too young. She's just in her 60s, and she went to heaven. that beats going to hell, doesn't it? but I'm sure she's not sad when she got up there. But you know, the thing of it is, we want to stay down here as long as we need to be down here. We want to finish our course. You know, the Bible says Jesus was going to, when we come, if we've been faithful, he's going to say, well done. You know, you don't want him just looking at you and say, well, you're here early. Your mansion's not ready. There's a cabin by the river. Of course, if it's a cabin in heaven and a river in heaven, it's going to be pretty good. But anyway. So here in Kings, Elijah says that I hear a sound. He said, you tell Ahab, I hear a sound of abundance of rain. And so Ahab went up to eat and drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel. And he cast himself down and upon the earth, and he put his face between his knees. Now, we know what he was doing, because when we read it in James, the Bible says he was praying. So he's praying. And he said to his servant, go up now and look. See, he's expecting something. And toward the sea, and he went up and he looked and he said, there's nothing. Now, you know, a faith person doesn't get discouraged when there's nothing that you can see. Notice what he said. He said to him, go again. And he did it 7 times. So he came back. So he came back and said, there's nothing. And Elijah said, go back and look again. He came back and said, there's nothing. And he did that 7 times. Go back and look again. Now, why is this? Because Elijah knows that faith doesn't take no as the answer. It doesn't take nothing as the answer. We're not having nothing. We're going to have something. Hallelujah. And so it came to pass, notice this, at the 7th time. What if he'd have stopped on 6? wouldn't come to pass. But it came to pass on the seventh time that he said, behold, there rise a little cloud out of the sea like a man's hand. I mean, you know, a little, he said, there's a sound of abundance of rain, and a little, a cloud the size of a man's hand doesn't cause abundance of rain. But it did not discourage him. He said, notice this, go say to Ahab, prepare your chariot, get down, that the rain stop thee not. And in the meanwhile, it came to pass in the meanwhile that the heaven was black with clouds, the wind, and there was a great rain. And Ahab rode and went to Jezreel, and the hand of the Lord was on him. And Elijah, and he girded up his loins and ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. Well, I read that because I wanted you to see that faith doesn't take no as the answer. Not if God said yes. Amen. Now, all right, we got some time here. Let's go over to the New Testament. I want to look at a couple passages over there, and we're going to let you go tonight. James chapter 5. James chapter 5. So we're talking about answered prayer. How many know we don't want to pray just to be praying? You know, Brother Hagin, sometime years ago, he did a survey in his church, you know. They would come up around the altar and pray. And he said, I just decided to do a survey. So while they're all praying, he said, I'd stop and ask people, what you praying for? Oh, nothing in particular. He said, well, then that's what you're going to get. Having faith is specific. Now, you know, there's times just to pray in fellowship with God. But that, you know, when we're praying, we shouldn't be praying just to be praying. We should be praying to receive. We should aim our faith. You know, I've talked about this before. It's like dynamite. You know, if you have a stick of dynamite, you just throw it out in the parking lot, it just makes a loud noise. But you drill a hole in the ground and put it in the parking lot, we got something to do this week. Fix the parking lot. Or it needs fixed already, but it really needs fixed. Because you aim the power now. Amen. You know, when you just throw it out in the air, it's just a big boom. You know, it's just a big firecracker. But you put it in the ground. I mean, you can do that. I mean, you know, we used to, as kids, we were always terrorizing things, and you know, we would get firecrackers and we would terrorize anthills. We'd go find anthills, and we'd, you know, they're all in there working, and we'd poke them in them holes, get them all poked in there, and wire them all together, and boom, blow up that anthill. We'd just do that with firecrackers. But you just throw it on top of the mountain, and it doesn't do anything. But you put it inside and aim its power. And there's some ants going to be pouring out a little bit coughing. I don't know why we were that way. We were just that way. We just were just mean when we were kids. Some of you were too. Greg was. He still is. Yeah. Anyway, you know, you do. Yeah, he still probably does. He probably still pulls the wings off flies and stuff. But anyway, we were just do that thing. But you had to aim the power. See, well, face that way. You got to aim it. If you're going to have any results, you can't just be casual with your faith and say, well, whatever. I'm just trusting the Lord. Well, what are you trusting Him for? What do you want? Be specific about it. You want healed, or you know, it's like the blind man that Jesus passed by. You know, he said, Son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus said, what do you want? I mean, if you want some money, I can give Judas to give you some money. You know, he was a treasurer. What do you want? He said, that I may receive my sight. See, he made him be specific. What do you want? And he told him what he wanted. I want that I may receive my sight. Well, he got what he wanted. What things soever you, I like the King James there, desire. Or what things soever you ask. It's what you want, what you desire, what you ask. You know, others say, well, Lord, just whatever. Well, sometimes that's not good enough. Especially if it's your redemption that's been paid for, like your healing, you don't just pray and say, Lord, if you want me well, heal me. You'll never get healed that way. Most likely you'll die. Amen. You know, people have this sovereignty thing all messed up. God's sovereign, absolutely. But the point is, they take it too far and say He's controlling everything that's going on. He's not. He'll let you make the choices. He'll let you. I mean, you know, if you're married and you're young enough, he'll let you have 12 kids if you want to. Might be a bad choice, but he'll let you do it, right? He won't. See, what I'm saying, A big part of the church think that God is sovereign, and that's true. He is sovereign, but in His sovereignty, He's given us authority. See, He's already done what He's going to do. See, and I've told you this before. I just repeat, but it'll still bless you. You know, the psalmist said, "The Lord sits in heaven; He does whatever He pleases." Well, that's great scripture. But the point is, He's already done what He pleased. You need to find out what He did. Amen. What He did was give us authority. Let us make some choices. Good or bad, we can make them. And so we have to be specific with our faith. We can't just say, "Well, Lord, if you want me healed, you know, I'm just praying whatever your will be." Well, you need to find out what His will is. Now, some things, you know, like direction and all, you may not know His will, but we know His redemptive will. We may not know specifically what house He'd have us to buy. And then instances like that, we can pray, we can trust Him to guide us and direct us. And I've seen that. I've seen Him direct us and guide us. I was interested in a house, Phyllis and I, just about 6 months ago. I really was interested in it. I went and looked at it twice and thought, "Well, I think I want this house." And so, you know, but you know, I didn't get the house. And so I just trust God that, you know, I didn't need that house. Right? But now, on my healing, I can't do it that way because I already know what He said. "By my stripes, you're healed." I already got a definite word on that. That house, maybe it was meant for me, maybe it wasn't. Obviously, it wasn't because I was getting ready to put our house on the market and you know, see if we could get this other house. Didn't happen. So I don't get disappointed by that. I know, praise God, you know, God's on my side. Hallelujah. And when I give it to Him like that, you know, in an area like that where, you know, the Bible doesn't give me a specific direction, I know He'll help me out. I know if it's good for me, it's part of His plan, good for Phyllis, we'll get the house. Amen. Right now, I'm not really concerned about moving. I'm tired of it. But if the right house come along and it was the will of God, I'd get it. Hallelujah. I saw one today. I talked to God about it. Amen. It would really have to be God because, if I bought it, I'd get in trouble. Hallelujah. I thought, you know, God, that's a nice spot. That's a nice house. And if you want me to have that, I wouldn't mind it. You know, kind of put a bug in His ear. What you think about this? I can see myself in there. It's kind of a big house. I'd probably have to hunt for Phyllis, but anyway. Hallelujah. You never know what God might do. Hallelujah. But now, how many understand what I'm talking about? When we talk about our redemption, the redemptive will of God, we've got Scripture on that. We don't have to guess. We don't have to pray if it be your will. Faith doesn't use the word "if" when it comes to your redemption. Because we could know what He said. You would know somebody's wrong if they said, "Lord, save me if it's your will." I mean, all the church that we know of, they would know that's wrong, right? But it's just as wrong to say that about anything else that God has provided for you. "Lord, meet my needs if it's your will." How many know He already said, "My God will supply all your need." I don't have to pray. I got to pray in faith to get that. Amen. Now, are you in James chapter 5? Look at this real quickly here. At James chapter 5, verse 14, the Bible says, "Is there any sick among you? Let them stay sick." That's not what it says. "Let them call for the elders of the church, and if it's the Lord's will, He'll heal them." I mean, that's not what the Bible says, right? I mean, some churches say that, but the Bible doesn't say that. The Bible says, "Let them call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord." And notice this, "And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up, and if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him." Now, does it mean he's sick because he sinned? It just said if he has, he can be forgiven. But once again, the emphasis is on the prayer of faith. The prayer of faith shall what? Save the sick. Why doesn't it say the Lord will save the sick? Think about it. It says the Lord will raise him up. but it puts the prayer of faith before it puts the Lord will raise him up. See, the Bible's doing that. It's emphasizing the fact that the Lord's not the issue in this. That's settled. Are you with me? That's already settled. It's the Lord's, he's not the factor in this. The factor is the prayer of faith. Is the prayer of faith going to be prayed so the Lord can release his power? Just like that one with issue of blood. She touched Jesus with faith, and it says power went out of him. That power was already there, and any of those people that were bumping into him could have touched that, could have got that power. How many would believe that if you're in a crowd like what Jesus was in, and there's all kinds of people bumping into you, how many would believe that probably some of those other people are sick? How many of some of those other people need healed? But yet only one got it. The power was there. You got to plug in. There's power. You don't see any, you know, if you don't see any power in those outlets, but it's there. We know that because we got experience with it, right? I've when I was a kid, you know, I was about four, and I was in Mom's bedroom, and I was laying over the bed, and I found some copper wires that Dad had that he had laying around. They're just bare copper wires, and I'm playing by the outlet. And Mom said to me, she said, "Don't you dare." It was like a dumb thing. Mom should know better than this. Don't you dare stick those in that outlet. I mean, just as soon as she left the bedroom, I stuck them in there. I found out why she said, don't do that. I hadn't done it since. I found out, there, even though it doesn't look like there's anything in there, there's something in there. And if you plug into it, you'll find out. Amen. And then that wasn't the last time I've been shocked. I was putting up a ceiling fan one day, and I was always the kind of guy that never went and turned the breaker off. I didn't. I just didn't ever turn the breaker until after this. I would just flip the light switch off. Because you flip the light switch off, there's not supposed to be any power up there, unless it's wired wrong. And then you can get some juice coming through that ground, see. And so I'm up there, and I've got the light switch fixed off. You know, and I got this, I'm putting this light kit on the fan, you know, and I'm up there, and I grabbed those wires, and man, I'm telling you what, hallelujah. I felt something. I dropped the light kit. It went all the way down the floor, hit the floor, you know. And I found out there's power in there. From that day forward, I shut it off with the breaker now. I don't want to take a chance that some dummy didn't wire this thing right, you know. And so I was puzzled. I thought, how did that happen? But then somebody explained it to me that knew a little bit more about it than I did and said, yeah, that can happen if it's not wired right. But anyway, there's power. See, the power's there. The power of God's there. But it's up to us to pray the prayer of faith. All right, one last scripture and we're going to close tonight. Did you get something out of this? Back to the first chapter of James. Let's go there. James chapter 1. We're just talking about faith. Faith is the key to answered prayer. It is a key and the main key to answered prayer. James chapter 1. All right, let's go to verse 5. It says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that gives to all men liberally and upbraids not or doesn't find fault, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavers is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Now, once again, the emphasis is on faith. God's got the wisdom, but you got to ask in faith. And when you do that, then you'll receive it. But it says, if you don't ask in faith, don't listen, now this is strong words. Let not that man think he'll receive anything of the Lord. All right? Now, once again, if you're driving home, you could turn your radio on, turn on the Christian station, you just might find somebody preaching just the opposite of what I'm telling you tonight. But did the Bible just say, without faith, don't think you're going to receive anything of the Lord? It says, if you doubt, see, Paul said, you know, I want men to pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. But if you doubt, Bible's plain. If there's not faith, you don't get anything from the Lord. That must be heaven's currency, right? Remember, we talked about that. You go into Walmart, you don't have cash or plastic, you don't get anything. You go before God, you don't have faith. I don't care what other preachers say. I'm not being disrespectful. I'm just being biblical. You don't have faith, you don't receive anything of the Lord. Amen. Is that what the Bible said? All right, then it must be right, right? Amen. So, once again, simple teaching tonight. I know that. I know you know this, but we have to be stirred up to remind ourselves that when we're praying, don't just be wishing things would change. Be expecting things to change. Be talking like things have changed. Be believing things have changed. Be acting like things have changed. That's the prayer of faith. That's the prayer of faith. Tell you this story and I'll close and we'll let you go tonight. But, you know, I've told this story before, but I really like this. I got a lot out of this when I heard this story years and years ago. A man came to preach for us at the Revival Center. He would come about every year, I think, for a while and hold a 2 or 3 day meeting for us. And he said, you know, he pastored a church. He was a Baptist brother that got filled with the Holy Spirit and became Baptist, you know, and became, you know, faith guy and all. And, you know, his church changed and flipped and went Spirit-filled and all. But he would come and hold us meetings. And he said, in my church, he said, I had a guy. He got up sick one morning, and he said, he said to his wife, call work and tell him I'm not coming today. And so she was going to the phone to call the office. And he said, when I said that, and she went to call, he said, the scripture that came to my mind was call for the elders of the church. Is any sick among you? It didn't say call work. I'm not coming down on you, okay? I'm just making a point that when you obey the word, you get word results. So he hollered at his wife. He said, wait a minute, honey. He said, don't call work. Call the church office and see if anybody's in there and ask them to pray for me. He said, while she was dialing the phone, he said, I got healed. He told his pastor this pastor would preach for us. He told his pastor this, and his pastor went around preaching. I think I used to have this, the cassette of it. He would preach a message called Dial for Healing. Think about it. Now, you know, I mean, that's not the only way to be healed. That is a way of provision. You don't have to call the elders of the church. You can use your own faith, believe God, or another believer can pray for you. The Bible says, a believer can lay hands on the sick. But that is a valid way. And so he acted on that scripture. You know, he just had him call the church, and he was healed. They didn't even have to pray. He got healed just obeying the word. I never forgot that story. I thought, you know, how many times over the years have I not just done what the word said do? Here's what I found out. You know what you really believe? What you really believe is what you're doing. If you really believed it, you'd do it. Hallelujah. If we really believed God multiplied seed we sowed, we'd be sowing more. Hallelujah. Well, I guess that was the benediction right there. But how many know we do what we're doing is what we really believe. Not what we're saying, what we're doing, what we're acting on. Amen.
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.